Hello, welcome to Front Page Radio with your host, international journalist Dan Wooding, the founder of Assist Ministries and the Assist News Service. Dan has been a journalist now covering the world for nearly 40 years with a focus on missions. And now here's Dan Wooding to start the show with a news update.
If you thought you'd heard everything from Gaza, here's a story to top them all. Hamas has upped its involvement in the entertainment industry with the creation of a boy band in the Gaza Strip. Israel Today reported that members of the band named the Protectors of the Homeland are all Hamas gunmen. Hamas spokesman said that the band's purpose is to raise the public spirit through entertainment and encourage the troops. Israel Today reported that the Protectors will sing about dead terrorists, Islamic values, and gaining control of Palestine from the Jews. Last month, Hamas announced that it had begun construction on a $200 million movie production studio in Gaza. The studio, which Israel Today reported will be used to produce propaganda films against Israel, is being built on the ruins of a former Jewish community uprooted during Israel's 2005 withdrawal from Gaza. Modeling its plans on the example of Universal Studios in Hollywood, the Hamas studio compound will eventually house Gaza's first major amusement park. Thank you so much for joining us today for Front Page Radio, and we're going to take a trip to the country of Iran. In fact, we have two friends from Iran. They haven't come all the way from Iran today. They've come all the way from Burbank. But we're delighted to have them. We have Joseph Hovsepian. Is that correct, Joseph?
Very close. Hovsepian.
Hovsepian. Sorry about that. And we have his brother, Andre Hovsepian, who now live here in Southern California, but are originally from the country of Iran. And the reason they're here is that they've just made a movie, and a movie that really is an extremely moving movie called A Cry from Iran. And first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Okay, now, this is a documentary that is very close to you personally. First of all, Joseph, tell us a little bit about the documentary, and particularly the fact that your father's story is featured in it.
Yes, basically, this documentary is the story of my father, Bishop Haik Hovsepian, who was the superintendent of Assemblies of God, and later in his ministry, the representative of Protestant churches in Iran and Middle East. So, living with him for 20 years, of course, I've had a lot of good memories from him, but 13 years ago in 1994, because of his faith and all he did for Christians and defending them, he was one day disappeared, and then we found him stabbed to death because of his faith. And after going through all the tragedy and comfort and different stages of forgiving, having a background in film industry, the idea of making this documentary started 2 years after the actual martyrdom. In 1996, we started gathering several documents and all the clips that I had shot when my dad was alive. And at the time, we didn't think that one day those clips could become so vital and important and the world would see them. But praise the Lord, with the support of Holy Spirit and family and churches, we came a long way. And 2 years ago, with partnership with Open Doors, we could officially start producing this documentary, full-time working with my brother on the board. And as a result, A Cry from Iran has been born.
I can't imagine the pain that you must have gone through when you lost your dad. Who killed him?
That's a question that we hope that the audience, after watching the documentary, can judge and know the answer for themselves. We haven't still pointed out our fingers at any special person or group or government. As we know that our main enemy is the devil that works through people and not the people themselves. But, of course, as you said, it's been very, very hard, very... sad at times, even during editing process. But our goal was focus was to see beyond our pain and memories and see what this film can do to the people in the West to appreciate their freedom and to the people in Iran to see that the martyr's name still goes on. Yeah.
Andre directed this movie. I think you both directed it, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you have big fights over it? Or?
No, contrary to my expectation, we had no fights.
Yeah. Yeah. Andre, how well did you know your father?
Well, I was only 10 years old when my father was martyred, so obviously I didn't have as much memory as Joseph did and the rest of the family. But I do definitely have a lot of memories still and a lot of pictures of him in my head, you know, because at the end I was 10 years old and I lived with him for 10 years. But definitely, besides memory, what I heard about him, you know, his life from other members of the church, from other family members, really impacted me so much. And of course, after making this documentary, spending sometimes 12, 13, 14 hours a day at times, you know, I think I saw more than more footages from him and clips and pictures than I had seen in my 10 years living with him.
What did you learn new about him? You know, when you started working on this movie, A Cry from Iran, there must have been... You must have been amazed that you found out all sort of new things about him.
Yes, I did actually. And the one thing that stood out, I would say, was the amount of passion and the vision that he had. Because you see, everything, I believe, starts from one person's vision and then does something to its community or results and is fruitful. And in the process of making this documentary, I saw that vision that my dad had, and at the end, of course, resulted in growing the zeal of Christians in Iran, of course. Yeah.
So coming back now to Joseph. Joseph, tell us in a few words what the... it's a documentary movie, presumably, and who narrates it?
This documentary is narrated by Don Ranson, a very well-known award-winning voiceover who did actually the Verizon Wireless voice until a few years ago. But again, when the word documentary comes out, some people's mind goes to a boring talking and like a program full of talks, whereas this one, as a lot of audience has already said, it's a docudrama, which is more like a film because there is not a 5-second clip that doesn't change. So everything keeps moving and keeps the audience in tension and guessing what would happen next. And we are very glad that not only this film has won awards in the Christian world, but also has gone beyond that and even in the scope of human rights issues. And freedom of religion and freedom of choice has brought a lot of interest in, and we are very excited about that.
Is it, when you say it's a docudrama, do you actually have reenactions? Do you have sort of actors playing some of the roles?
Yeah, we have a lot of reenactments. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we shot about 200 hours footage of my father. So in his last years of life, we have enough coverage.
Yeah.
But the first part of his life and the persecution in Gorgan and the radical parts of country of Iran, those all were shots that we had to reestablish. So we traveled to 5 countries and also 5 states in America. We have shot over 35 interviews and 35 hours of reenactment. And the result has been a 55 minutes full packed documentary plus a lot of behind the scenes.
Is the music as well?
The music was done by my brother, my other brother who's not present here today.
You're a talented family.
Gilbert. in fact, this is still a lot of it comes from my dad, as he was a musician as well. And he was, I think, the most talented one.
Now, here we are, folks. We're not very far from Hollywood here. We're in Southern California as you record this. And you could have probably made a movie about just about anything. But you've made a movie called A Cry from Iran. And it's basically a tribute to your own dad. And I just think that's absolutely wonderful. Take us back to the period when there was all this trouble for your father. What led up to it?
Yes, of course, I will rewind to the time, but sadly the situation hasn't changed that much even at the present. But going back to 1993, of course the church at the time was had big clashes with the government officials, and the church had to be closed down, and my dad as a superintendent of the churches in Iran was the front person in the battle, and would always get involved in the situations. But it came to its climax in 1993 when Mehdi Dibaj, who was a Muslim convert and a Christian brother, had served 10 years in prison, and he had to be executed for his faith. And the only punishment for his conversion was basically dying for it and paying the price. And my dad stood against that execution order and brought it to the attention of the government officials in Iran, and then took a bigger step to the Christian world outside the United Nations, and even involving the Congress of U.S. So as a result of his activities and campaign, Mehdi Dibaj was released. And this was a big victory for the Church of Iran. But then soon after, he had to pay a bigger price, and that was his own life.
What actually happened? We're talking now to Andre, who had big fights with his brother as they co-directed this film. No, they didn't. I can see some bruises, though. No, not really. Andre, yes. Take us the next step. What exactly happened to your dad?
Well, obviously, if you let me, I won't say exactly what happened. Say in detail, so that way the audience
could enjoy
it more. Yes.
Boy, you're professional promoters, yeah. You two.
Yes, but basically what happened was that, of course, after several threats that we got in different ways, finally one day my dad was on his way to airport to pick up a friend from church, and he was disappeared for 11 days. We had no news of him, and I mean, you could only imagine, you know, how hard it was for us. And of course, I have to mention here that the whole church was very supportive internationally, worldwide.
Yes.
We received many support from different believers around the world, and that, of course, helped us a lot to cope with the situation. But after 11 days, unfortunately, we received a call which they said, we need your eldest son, which was Joseph, to come and identify some pictures.
Who was that who called then?
That was from the police, yes, from morgue. Morgue.
From the morgue.
Yes.
Oh, the morgue,
some
yeah.
of the officials from the morgue, yes. And then, I mean, I won't get into details, but of course, you know, later on we found out that he was killed, and actually he was buried in a Muslim graveyard, which they only buried Muslim people. So then we had to actually take the body out and take it to Christian.
Joseph, did you have to go and see your father, or was that another brother?
No, it was me.
So tell me, I mean, that must have been horrendous for you.
Yes, as Andra said, as hard as it was and even is right now to talk about it, we have captured all these moments or seconds in the documentary. And when it gets to this part, the movie kind of slows down, so you feel what martyr's family goes through when such thing happens. But for me, it was, I think, very shocking, because it was the climax and challenging point of my faith. Forget the situation, because I trusted that God would protect his children in any situation, and this was something we were thought always and believed in. But maybe I hadn't seen the other side of the picture. And especially having such a faithful father whose ministry was very fruitful for God, it was the last thing that passed in my mind that in the morgue I would see the 26 times stabbed face of my and chest of my dad covered in blood. So I went in with the knowledge that he won't be there. And in fact, when we went through all the pictures of the albums, he was not there. But until the last minute before we left, they said, there's one more picture, and we have already buried this man as an unidentified person.
Oh, that's terrible.
And that was my father.
Wow. So what did you feel? You must have felt awful.
I think at the time, soon I got into this stage of kind of challenging God, and I was alone with the two police officers, which were not too comforting either. So I didn't cry at that time that much, and then I walked home to my uncle's house because I didn't know how to share the news to my with my mother and my brother Andre. At the time was 10 years old, and he was the first thing in my mind that in Iran, and at the time people in Iran, they always have parents. There are not that many divorces, so not having a father is also a very big deal there. And he came to my mind, and I just didn't know how to digest the situation, and I think it kind of hit me in a few hours after.
And Andre, you're a 10-year-old kid. Suddenly your brother's there, probably. I don't know whether you were crying, but you probably were very emotional.
Yeah, when I got home, but then I couldn't control it. Yeah, they just saw my face and knew.
So, Andre, can you remember what he said?
Yes, I remember exactly, actually. It's very interesting. If you saw the movie End of the Spear, that I saw myself in that movie, actually, when the guy comes home and his son is upstairs and he just listens, puts his ear on the ground and listens from another room. That was exactly me in 1994, because I was in my room doing homework, and then I heard Joseph coming in, and I just ran to him, and I saw his eyes, and that was enough for us to know what has happened. And then, of course, we hugged each other. It was very emotional, very emotional. But at the same time, overall, I have to say that I really do believe that if God lets something happen for a reason, he also takes care of you too, you know. And he's not a coward God. He's a very caring God, in fact. And that's why he protected us throughout
what,
the years.
What about your mother? I mean, how did she respond? She almost guessed that this had happened.
Yes, she's, well, I would say again, it was probably the God's plan that during those 11 days we were very calm, and we believed that he would be alive, maybe somewhere in interrogation or somewhere, but we were expecting him to be back. But after that shock, I think we all went through several stages that my mother calls it a university of God, which you never, in fact, graduate from. You always keep learning. But I think the first stage for us was the hatred that we had towards the enemies. And it took us a good couple of months to start even thinking about forgiveness.
Did you
and
want to go get revenge in some way?
Yes, I remember even in the very first days, my mind was working that, okay, I have to pay them back. They have killed an innocent person. But as my brother said, with the support of the church and all the prayers that were coming from outside in the West and organizations, including Open Doors that we are working now with, I think God really touched us, and things went very smoothly. And as a result, then it was the process of forgiveness. It was process of not only forgiving, but interceding, and finally praising and being thankful.
I often tell my friends here in the United States that really we don't know we're living here. We live in this wonderful place. When we go to church on Sunday, as far as I know, unless you're in some real gang-ridden area, it's going to be pretty safe. And you're wondering how long the pastor's going to see so you can go and have brunch. And you think of Iran and also Gaza. You know, I've been to Gaza twice with Brother Andrew. And we have this horrendous story of this man from the Bible Society getting murdered over the weekend. And he was 32. His wife's pregnant. They got two small kids. I mean, you've been through this thing. How would that wife feel at this very moment? This is so close to the killing of her own husband in Gaza.
Yeah, I'm sure as she is going through the hard process of missing her husband and dealing with the shock of her husband's death, still, one thing always is alive and never dies, and that's the peaceful spirit of God that works even when our tears are shedding. And that's why I think at this point our prayers still definitely make a change, no matter if we don't know her face or even her name. I believe something magical happens through the power of prayers. Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I try and tell friends here in the West that really we need to shut up now and start listening to the persecuted church instead of telling them, because we've got all the technology and the toys, we think we know it all, but in fact, people like your dad, people like this dear brother that was killed in Gaza, they got so much to teach us. And through your movie, if we can shut up for how many minutes, 70 minutes, is it?
55 minutes.
Mm. We're going to be taught. Andre, tell us what some of the lessons people can get if they watch your movie, A Cry from Iran.
Yes. Well, one of them, as you already mentioned, is definitely, I think it stands out, is the appreciation of life. No matter what situation you're in, no matter if you have financial problems or someone in your family has a disease or anything like that, after watching this movie, the first impact I think that it leaves on you is that, wow, I have to appreciate my life. I have to appreciate this freedom that I have. And of course, I mean, I have to make a note that Christians in the West are persecuted too, in other ways maybe, which is a whole different topic, but at least it's not physical. They don't take your life in a way, if you know what I mean. And I think that's one of the impacts that it does. Other feedbacks that we've got from people have been just simply the awareness, because a lot of people, you know, they watch the news and they think that that's all we need to know and that's all is happening on this earth, on this universe. But after watching this movie, people really are aware, more aware of what is happening in these third world countries.
Well, we're talking with two rather extraordinary youngish men. They're not totally as old as I am, at least. I'm really old. We're talking with Joseph and Andre Horsepian. Is that, have I said it right this time?
Very close.
Very close. It's unbelievable. Why can't you have a name like Smith or something like this?
Just to be different.
You can call us Smith if you want.
They are from the country of Iran, but live here in Southern California with how many Iranians? There must be a million at least here.
In Los Angeles area, I think there are under 1 million. Yeah.
It's rather scary because I think the mayor of Beverly Hills is from Iran now.
Yes,
it's
he
a
is.
Takeover. We're being taken over. But what is so wonderful is that here you are, many, many miles from a very troubled country, your country of your birth, and yet you're able to speak out through the movie on behalf of those that don't have a voice. And I think that's very key. Are there other Christians and Christian leaders in Iran who are suffering like your dad did?
Sadly, yes. And I should say that even in the past 2 months, there were few other house group leaders and Christians that were officially executed. And still there are groups that are always taken for interrogation and somehow pay the price, whether they lose their job or their kids can't go to school. But the fact is that what has changed during the past several years after the series of Iranian martyrs are how the Christians handle their faith and how they respond to the persecution. They pray for their enemies. They trust in the Lord more than ever. And my dad, of course, being an Armenian, basically was not from a Muslim background, but defending Muslim background believers already left a great impact on the Muslim background believers. And they all say that if Armenians could give their lives to reach us through the message of gospel, how much more we are ready to pay that. So they have become much more stronger than ever before.
Because, you know, Brother Andrew just brought out this book, Secret Believers, and it's written, I understand, in a novel form, but it's basically telling the stories of when Muslims follow Christ, how difficult it is. How difficult is it, Andre, for a Muslim in Iran to give their lives to Christ?
It is very difficult actually because of security reasons, I think, primarily. Because, you see, once you do give your life to Jesus, you're not only making a decision for yourself, but also, in a way, you are somewhat endangering maybe your family members. So, I mean, it's a whole different world, you know, out there than here. So I think as far as that goes, it's the security comes in the line. But at the end, you know, the wisdom that God gives them, I think, ultimately leads them to do the right thing.
Yes, yeah. Well, we are talking to two very extraordinary people who unfortunately aren't called Smith. They're called Hovsepian.
Hovsepian brothers.
Eventually, I'll get this right, but the interview will be over by the time I get this right. But they've produced this wonderful movie, A Cry from Iran. Now, I know you're showing it in different churches, but also, can you get it? Is there a website where you can you can get the DVD?
Yes, for both DVD information and screening information, you can go to the official website, which is acryfromiran.com, and everything is there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can they see your photographs there as well?
They can see our pictures. They can see the
three minutes.
We have tried to edit it in Photoshop.
You have special airbrush pictures and everything. No, that's wonderful. You know, it is such a joy to talk to both of you, to pay tribute to your own father. My dad was a missionary to Nigeria, and I was born in Africa. Some people tell me I should go back there, but you know, the fact that you can all these years on pay tribute to your own dad, and I urge all of you to go to the website, not only to see their photographs, and but also to get a copy of this DVD or find out where it's been screened again. Can you tell us where to find it?
Yes, it's www.acryfromiran.com.
For both of you, thank you so much. I'll just say for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, from Joseph and Andre Hovsepian, I think I got it right. Finally, thank you so much, and I hope all of you will pray for Iran and that you'll check the website out and either go and see the movie or get the DVD. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Front Page Radio with international journalist Dan Wooding. If you would like a free subscription to the Assist News service, just log on to their website at assistnews.net. If you would like to write to Dan, please send your letter to him at Assist, P.O. Box 609, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please don't forget to tune in next time for another edition of Front Page Radio on this same station.